All right, today on the Ray Bones and Nodder Show, we're going to talk a little Tiger Woods documentary. Are you kidding me? There's a guy named DJ LeMahieu.
Let's go, baby. Welcome home, DJ.
What? Get the hell out of here with that crap. Not to mention, we have a huge weekend of football. Saturday, Sunday. Let's go.
Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
All right, here we are. This is Ray Bones and Nodder Show.
What's up, everybody? Happy Saturday. Good morning. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Get a Bloody Mary.
Rising grind.
Rising grind. Let's get it.
It's time to shine, baby.
We got a show today.
We got a show. We're going to have Kevin Michael. He's going to be joining us very shortly.
Yep.
He's going to be spitting all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk a little college hoops. Mm-hmm. We're going to add that. We're going to add some Tiger Woods. Let's start off with Tiger Woods right off the rip. Tiger Woods, man, if nobody has a clue what's going on, or they do and they just don't have HBO.
Max, folks, $14.99 a month.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
I mean, if you, and we'll touch on it, maybe we won't give it away. Maybe we will. I don't know. It's worth a watch. Honestly, I almost watched it two or three times.
Yeah. No, it's so obviously for those who aren't familiar with Tiger Woods, obviously, I mean, that's far and few between. But now we're getting into a generation, Ray, that may not know who Tiger Woods is. We grew up loving and idolizing Tiger Woods. We're two of the biggest Tiger Woods supporters ever, I think.
My son's middle name is Tiger.
Right. I got into golf. You got into golf because of Tiger.
Sure.
So for those who don't know, obviously Tiger is one of the most well-known golfers, if not one of the most well-known athletes of all time. He had quite the life, and he really had quite the downfall a few years ago. Obviously, the cheating scandal, the pain pillars, the pain killers.
Hey, did you take a couple of Vicodins before you hopped on the set this morning?
No kidding.
How was your breakfast?
Yeah, right. Seriously, pain killers, alcohol, women, all sorts of problems that he ran into. So HBO, after all this time, decided to release a documentary. It's broken up into two parts. Part one got released. Ray and I both got to watch it. I had a lot of mixed emotions on it, Ray. There were some parts that were really sad for me to watch, some parts that were really cool to watch, you know, get to see some old school clips and, you know, see what he did once he got to the PGA Tour. But let's, without giving too much away, let's talk a little bit about his upbringing based on what now this is all based on the documentary, guys. So Tiger and a lot of his fans and friends and family didn't really like the idea of this documentary even coming out in the first place.
Yeah, I'm not... Listen, man, I was a little... I mean, I thought it was a really good documentary. Part one, I got into it. There was a point where I was like, man, I actually got a little emotional watching. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? It's freaking like, you know, but, you know, when he went through what he went through with his dad and cancer and, you know, the impact that Earl Woods had on Eldrick Taunt, Tiger, you know, it's really remarkable and I mean, it was huge. You know, yeah. I mean, this dude had a golf club in Tiger's hands at 3 months old. Three months old. And, you know, you're in the garage.
Yep, keep going.
Oh, you know, and then you know, you're in the garage, you know, hitting golf balls to the point where, you know, his mom comes out and she's feeding him.
While his dad's hitting golf balls.
In the garage while they're hitting golf balls. You know, I mean, you're supposed to eat in a high chair at the table. You're not supposed to eat in the garage in front of a golf mat. So, you know, just to see where this kid's, where he came from and how hard his life was, how strict and brutal. I mean, it was brutal how the parents were. So, you know, it was it's crazy.
It was interesting because you don't really know what Tiger went through and one of the best parts about this documentary for me so far is that they dive into his childhood and when he was in high school and then, you know, his early college years. This kid, Tiger, he didn't have a life.
No.
He didn't have a life. He didn't have any friends.
He lived in a bubble.
He lived in a bubble. He lived in a golf bubble. And it's because that's the way that Earl, his dad, wanted it to be.
Mm.
And Earl, you learn a lot about Tiger's dad in this documentary, folks. We're not going to give it all away. There's some stuff I learned about him that I was shocked to hear about.
Yeah.
Some disturbing things that Earl was doing while he was with Tiger at the golf course. To be honest with you, my opinion on it so far is in part one was, I think part one was more about Earl Woods than it was about Tiger. Because I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to portray Tiger as this person that Earl created and molded, which he did. I mean, he was telling people that Tiger Woods was going to be the next Jesus Christ, the next Messiah,
Gandhi and Buddha.
Like, yeah. Earl was a little off his rocker. He also threw a few back all the time. He was a full-blown alcoholic.
Oh, he was a boozer.
Yeah.
He was a boozer, but, you know, it's a good documentary. I want to talk more about it. There's so much to talk about in this documentary.
It's a lot, yeah.
All I'm going to say is go out and watch this documentary. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be disappointed. If you're a big Tiger fan and, you know, oh, he was this and he was that. And listen, everybody comes from somewhere and you know, you learn something. And he had a lot of things going on in his
man
youth that...
I mean, they go back to his high school girlfriend.
What a name she has.
Yeah.
Diana Parr.
Diana Parr, folks. Diana Parr.
Listen, if your last name's Parr, if your last name's Parr and you're Tiger Woods, a Parr ain't good enough.
Seriously.
He wants birdies. And if your last name was Eagle, he probably freaking married you before he even graduated high school.
Yeah, that's kind of a whole interesting story, too. They get into his relationship with his high school girlfriend, and how they broke up was extremely bizarre.
What the hell was that about?
And you guys, by the time you're done watching part one, you will completely understand why Tiger Woods went through what he went through as an adult, because he never had any experiences through his childhood, through his adolescent years, even through the first part of his adult years. He had no life. His father controlled his life, extremely controlling.
Just watch it.
Yeah, we're not going to get too much more into it, but guys.
Just watch it. Next week, we're giving it all out.
Oh, we're going to give it all out.
We're giving it all out by next week.
The second part airs on January 17th, so we will be talking about the second part. And then we may dedicate a good section of, because obviously we have a big golf following and we're big golfers.
Yeah.
We may talk about it for a good majority of the show. It's incredible, guys. Even if you're not a golf fan and you like Tiger Woods or you're interested in his story, please go out and watch it. It is incredible. Interesting.
Listen, it's worth watching.
I still have a lot of mixed emotions about it. I really don't know how I feel about it yet.
No. You know? Listen,
It hit hard. It hit hard. There's a lot of times where I'm like, man, this is sad. It's sad. A lot of it is sad.
No, it's sad.
You know?
It's completely sad. You grow up in a bubble. You don't have any kind of freedom. You got to get out there. You got to experience things. You have to live a normal life. And the way this documentary portrays Tiger is that Tiger did not live a normal childhood or, you know, teenager. He had a girlfriend, and, you know, there were some cool, like, old school videos. And
like his prom pictures prom videos and like, stuff. You know, it's cool. They really dug deep.
Yeah, he's kind of geeky and stuff.
He was a little bit shy.
You know, the shy guy growing up that turns into, like, this dude who's just smashing at anything and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so weird. You know, he never really got to get it out. And I'm not saying that, you know, people have to, like, you know, go and just slay everything. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, that's what he did, because he caught up with him.
But Tiger apparently had to go out and figure it out before, you know, he married it. I mean, his wife, Elin, she was beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
She was a smoke show. So, I don't know. What the hell? I mean, oh, man. And then, whatever. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, you guys got to go watch it. We don't want to spoil all of it for you. But next week when we talk about it, we are going to spoil it. Just a spoiler alert.
Oh,
you guys are going to...
Yeah, write it down. Take a picture. You're getting it all whether you like it or not.
Yep.
By the way, we're coming live. We're in the Pie Hop studio. Mm-hmm. We're in Norwich, Connecticut. We're in the Rose City. You know, we're going to give a shout out to our sponsors over at Great Brook.
Mm-hmm.
We were there yesterday. We had a nice little session. We hit some balls and, you know, the electronic ball popper upper.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call it. It's an automatic tee shot.
Listen, you guys, it's amazing. You go there. First of all, the staff, Mark over there, is probably one of the nicest guys.
Yeah.
We go in. We got our bucket of balls. We hit the range. You throw the balls into the compartment, you close it, ball pops right up. You don't even have to bend over, guys, and put the ball on the tee. You don't have to.
You can be real lazy. Be real lazy. You just got to bend over one time.
You know what, though?
Put the balls in there.
For me, that's nice because, you know, you hit a bad shot or you're struggling swinging the club. It gives you a minute. You don't have to bend down and put the ball. You could just walk away and it does it for you. You reset your mind.
Or you just hit the balls as fast as you can and they're all bad and you get the hell out of there as quick as you can. Yeah. But before you go, you walk through the little clubhouse there. Mm-hmm. They got three great simulators. They have the big one that's up and running now. Mm-hmm. They have tons and tons of shafts. If you're looking to get fitted for golf, and listen, you guys are going to be getting your income tax checks soon. Mm-hmm. Go over there. Talk to Mark. Talk to Corey Jones. They have Callaway, TaylorMade,
Titleist,
Cobra,
yep.
Ping, and he has multiple shafts, mm-hmm. tons of shafts,
grips,
tons
shafts,
of club heads, and they'll fit you. They can measure your swing speed. They can pretty much do it all. So head over to Great Brook Golf Center, 184. That's in Groton. And ask for Mark for those clubs.
Yep.
Go see Corey. He'll get you all
Corey's
squared away.
Corey's meticulous about his club fittings. I'm actually going to go probably see him. In a couple months, once I get some, actually, it's not even about the money. It's about getting approval from the wife to let me go and just get what I want to get. Corey, I'm coming for you, dude. You're going to need a lot of time, so make sure you put aside a whole afternoon because you're not going to know what to do with me.
Yeah, it's probably the most consistent. It's the most consistent inconsistent swing.
I might have such a mixed bag of clubs that I may have Callaway, Titleist, TaylorMade. I may just have
You don't have to have all the same kind of clubs.
No. I mean,
you should have all the same irons at least.
Absolutely.
You know.
So we got the golf out of the way again. Great Brook, thank you for having us the other day. Yesterday we came down, we hit some balls, we got some photos taken. It was really cool. So we appreciate you guys over there for being a proud sponsor of our show.
Check it out. We're going to be doing a live show there soon too.
Yeah, Mark.
We got a match coming.
Mark wants us to come down and hit the simulator and do a show down there on the simulator. That will be an absolute.
We want to do it too.
Yeah,
we want to do it.
Of course we do.
I want to go and play golf.
You can play whatever you want, by the way. You want to play at TPC Scottsdale. You want to play at Pebble Beach. You want to play at, you know, wherever. You can play it.
Yeah, no.
You can select whatever course you want.
No, I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready. So.
All right, Ray. What's on the slate?
Big things happen in your area. I mean, do we want to bring Kev on right now?
Yeah, why don't we bring Kev?
Let's bring
Mike
Kev
on
if Kev's available. We'll bring Kev
on.
And we'll talk a little bit about this.
This
signing that happened today. Apparently, the Yankees finally pulled their heads out from their rear end.
Yep.
To be politically correct, and they signed. I guess your guy's best player. Right,
yeah,
DJ LeMahieu to a 6-year, $90 million deal, which doesn't really seem like a lot in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, so I'm going to break it. Well, Kev and I talked a lot about it today. Kev, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
What's going on, guys?
What's up? So for those of you who don't know Kev, it's Kev Mike. He's a part
Kevin
of our
Michael
show.
Michael.
He comes on about once a week. We're going to be talking a lot of stuff tonight, so... Let me break down how my morning for you went. My morning went real quick. So I woke up this morning to get an alert on my phone.
You took a shit.
That was later. That was later. I got my cup of coffee. My phone goes off. Breaking news. New York Yankees are finalizing a deal with the DJ LeMahieu, the machine, the best player on our team. I freaked out. I was like, yes. I'm yelling in the kitchen. I'm super excited. And then later on, I get the official word. The Yankees signed DJ for 6 years, $90 million. I saw the numbers, and Kev, we talked about it a little bit.
Right.
I was kind of taken back a little bit. I mean, I wasn't upset because obviously we locked him in for 6 years. That's so far. Yeah. We don't have all the exact details. 6 years, $90 million. The money wasn't where he wanted it, although the years were, because he wanted at least 5 years. So, Kev, before I get into what I think of it, what were your thoughts on it? Obviously, you were happy for the Yankees and happy for Yankee Land. Get that, we got our guy. I mean, we had to get him. Lindor was off the table. The Mets grabbed him. New York is doing big things as far as baseball goes. Kev, what do you think of the deal? What do you think it's going to do for the Yankees coming up this year?
I think it's a huge deal, and I think that it's a bargain when you look at the money. You know, and you can deal with the years because the money isn't as bad as it could have been. And so, you know, the infield is set. They still have things to work out. Their outfield to me scares me, but I think this is monumental for their team. They needed LeMahieu. There's nothing that they could have done. They whether they get pitching or whether they make any other moves, they had to get this done, and they did.
Absolutely, I think in a lot of my buddies texted me. We got a lot of hits on our Facebook and Instagram about it. People were saying, obviously, and we all knew this, if the Yankees didn't sign DJ LeMahieu and didn't re-sign him to a long-term deal, it would have been the biggest mistake I would say it would go down as one of the biggest mistakes the Yankees have made in at least the last decade. Hands down, he's the best player out there. You have to sign him. He's a leader on the field. He's a batting title champion. You know, he's the guy. He's the guy. And one of the cool things that I read today, and I really like this, you know, somebody was saying that, you know, actually John Boy on John Boy Media, he does the Talking Yanks podcast. He said the cool thing about DJ LeMahieu was that he is 33 years old. So his age, do you want to sign a guy that's 33 for 6 years? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I guess. But the thing about DJ LeMahieu is that his tools and his skills are not really like an age-deficient thing. I mean, he's not right. A huge power hitter. He makes contact. He plays good defense. He will still make contact with the baseball when he's 39 years old.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I mean, I don't know that he's going to play to an elite level when he's, you know, 38 years old, but that's not what the Yankees are focused on. They're trying to win now. Mm-hmm. So they had to get this done, and it was great to see. And I think it calms people down a little bit because I do think there was a little bit of woe from Yankee Nation when mm-hmm. they saw the Mets make the move for Lindor. And I think this kind of put some people at ease. But, just from thinking about what we were talking about earlier, I kind of agree with Ray a little bit here because, you know, he made a comment earlier. He said, well, you know, yeah, duh, they signed LeMahieu. We kind of thought he would. I think it would have been a bigger story had they not signed him. Mm-hmm. So I kind of understand where he's coming from with that, and I'm sure he'll comment and let us know that he couldn't care less about the Yankees. But I just think that this had to get done. It got done. I think it sets the table. The infield is set, like I said. The outfield, I think, is set. But they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do because none of their outfielders stay healthy. You know, so –
right.
They needed to get this done for that reason alone because he's so consistent. It's huge.
Right. I agree with you 100%. And we'll touch on this last topic real quick before we move on to some other big news. Obviously, we have a huge football weekend coming up. We got some big news out of the UFC. We got a whole bunch of coaching positions that got filled over the past couple days in the NFL. My last question for you, Kev. We've talked about how the Yankees need pitching and how we just don't have a set rotation, although we do have some talent, right. Coming up through the ranks, Devi Garcia, we do have some youth pitching. I read an article today, the Yankees' next focus. Now, a lot of people think, they're automatically thinking, okay, pitching. Obviously, pitching wins games. Pitching gets you to the postseason. Pitching gets you through the postseason. The Yankees don't need any other hitters, except for maybe a left-handed bat. A left-handed bat would be good. How do you feel about the catching position? And JT Realmuto is still a free agent. He's out there. He's available. Do you think the Yankees could snag him on a 2-year deal and maybe think about shopping Gary Sanchez? What do you think?
I think that what I think they're going to do are two different things. I would make the move for Realmuto because, and I never say his name right.
But, that's all right.
It's a mouthful. But yeah. I would do that. But the Yankees, I think, are going to stick with Sanchez. And I think it's economical. I really do. And I'm not saying that we need to feel bad for the Yankees. They have a ton of money. We all know that they lost between $200 and $300 million last year. That's a whole separate topic. But I think it makes sense to address that in talking about this. I think they are looking at finances. Just like I think when they go out and get a starting pitcher, I think they will trade for one that's under control. One that's not expensive right now, and then worry about that 2-3 years from now and hope that the world gets back on track to normalcy. But I would improve the catching position. I like that. I love Realmuto. I think mm-hmm. he's a line drive hitter. I think he's everything you would want. What I think Cashman's going to do is he's going to stick with Sanchez. I think he'll stick with the backup Higuyoshi. I think he'll try to make a move for a pitcher. And, you know, they did make the trade for Allen. He'll probably be the utility outfielder. I don't see the Yankees making a ton of moves, so I would say no on Realmuto.
All right, very good. So there you have it, guys. That's our baseball and Yankee talk for the night. And it just was breaking news, too. Lindor did sign a $22 million deal to avoid arbitration, which is the highest ever, I believe, is what I saw. So Mets are doing big things. Yankees are always doing big things. I think New York is trying to bring their baseball world back, man, and that's how they're going to do it. Is got to get that Yankees-Mets rivalry back, too. You know, that's always a fun Subway Series watching those two guys play.
How about a freaking Red Sox-Yankees rivalry?
There isn't one right now. There isn't one, and it's sad because that was the best rivalry in sports, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
So, you know, before you like jump ahead and get ahead of yourself trying to dog my Red Sox, which it completely sounds like you're doing.
Maybe I am.
I think you're going to see a lot of power moves coming very shortly with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. We have to have power moves. Having our guy back in town, and I know you're not going to like Alex Cora, but Alex Cora's back in town, man, and the players like Alex Cora.
I like Alex Cora, too.
And they play for Alex Cora, and yeah. I'm excited to have him back. Listen, we went from the dumpster, and then the following year, we followed up with the World Series. Am I saying we're going to win a World Series this year? No, I'm not, but I'm saying we're going to make some moves very shortly here before this spring training starts, and the Red Sox aren't going to be in the dumpster again, and that rivalry is going to get sparked.
Yeah.
Chris Sale, he's going to come back healthy.
I hope so.
You know, Rodriguez, he's talking a good game right now. He's ready to get back on the field. He just had the whole year off due to COVID and his heart issue. And, so to see him come back and get see him back on the mound, we need some solid pitching, man.
We do.
You know?
Or you do.
I don't know what the hell. I mean, hey, if you want to jump ship, you're freaking straight.
Now, listen, you know why I said that? It's because we need it, too.
Everybody needs pitching.
Yeah, everybody needs pitching. There's never a shortage of pitching.
We need it really bad.
Right.
Like, really bad. We can't rely on Chris Sale to pitch every single game.
No,
definitely not. You know,
you can't rely on Nathan Eovaldi either because
that
was another deal that just, listen, Nathan Eovaldi's a Yankee killer. But, yeah, no, I think we would all love to see the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry get back to where it was, man. Where are the bench-clearing brawls? Where are the fights? Where are fans beating each other up? Like, that stuff was fun, man. Back in the 90s, early 2000s, you go to a Yankee game, you got to really be careful out there against the Red Sox.
It's interesting because, you know, they're throwing some names around, and I'm sure Corey Kluber's getting thrown around for a lot of different teams. But the Red Sox were one of those teams. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Andrew Benintendi, who's coming off a shit year, but his ceiling is much higher than he played last year. So, I mean, you know, what are we going to get for that guy when he's coming off of a down year? I think his average was like a buck and change. I mean, he was just he was terrible.
Yeah, I did read that Corey Kluber did have a fantastic workout, and from what I've been hearing, Yankees are big players, Red Sox are huge players, and you could see him get signed within the next couple days.
Yeah, they are. No, I read that too, Nodder. And it makes sense. He's a terrific pitcher. I think people forgot about him last year.
He won a Cy Young, for Christ's sake. I mean, you don't just win a Cy Young. I mean, you know what happened last year? He probably lost the he lost the contact for the guy out in L.A. for that stuff to put on the ball.
The rosin pine tar.
He needed the special concoction.
Corey Kluber won 18 games in 2018. 2019. Yeah. And people are forgetting, everybody's like, oh, he gets hurt. His injuries are not arm injuries. You know, he had a hamstring thing, he had a back thing. You know, back is a little bit scary, but Corey Kluber is a stud. I don't care what anybody says. He's got great stuff. He locates the ball. I think Corey Kluber would be a huge pickup for Boston. I really do. I think that would be a great move for them. You got a veteran guy. He knows how to pitch. He's pitched in big games. I think he'd be a great addition to your staff. I really do.
No, I do. And I would love him.
The point you brought up, I was going to bring up. You know, having those pitchers back healthy, and then you add Kluber, then we can talk about the Red Sox.
Let's get a Kluber and a Bauer. How about that? Let's get some Bauer hour going, too.
Oh, man.
Let's just go. It's time to load up. Spend some money. I really do. I'm a fan. I like Andrew Benintendi. I really do.
Yeah.
But if we're going to get a whole, you know, a decent amount of, you know, some prospects back, and,
yeah,
you know, who knows? I do know that we did land the top Dominican prospect. For this year's class. So hopefully he's not like that other guy. Oh, what the heck was that guy's name there that we landed 2 years ago? It's a brain fart. But he didn't turn out to be much of anything. He was a Dominican player as well.
Yeah. So listen, you know, baseball is coming. Baseball's coming, guys. Spring is on the way. Spring training's on the way. We're finally starting to see some movement with the free agency. Obviously, COVID played a huge part of why these teams aren't spending the money like they normally do. Then again, there's not a gigantic market of free agent players. I mean, listen, Lindor was going to be the biggest piece. DJ was huge. And now you have Trevor Bauer, who arguably is the best pitcher available. Actually, he is the best pitcher available. Let's not really cut him down a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see. So now we're just waiting to see where Trevor Bauer goes. And, baseball's coming, guys. So when baseball gets a little bit closer, we're going to dive in and break down some teams and some players and stuff like that. So,
yeah, this kid's 16 years old at the Red Sox.
We signed Gary Sanchez when he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
So, listen,
All right, let's
go. You never know.
We got to build that dumpster fire of a farm we have.
That's it. All right, so listen, let's get on to our next topic, Kev. We have UFC. We have football, which I think we'll probably leave towards the end.
Yeah, let's leave the football. Let's jump right on this UFC thing because this is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But the UFC is not going to test for marijuana now.
Yeah.
They're just going to let it slide. Like, you know, these guys are going to burn some weed. Mm. They're going to get in the octagon. They're going to smell like they just all sat around a table, you know, hitting the bong. I don't know. But new thing today with the UFC, they're not going to be testing for marijuana. Like, what do you guys feel about this whole situation?
Nodder.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think, listen, marijuana is legal in several states. It's one of those things that, you know, is becoming more common these days. I think you're seeing, and this is just my opinion, I think if you see the UFC allow marijuana, or if, you know, it's not going to be you're not going to get, you know, in trouble for using it, smoking it, whatever you decide to do with it. I think right. The UFC is looking at it as a longevity type thing for some of these fighters, right? I think marijuana, you know, I'm not going to get into the science of it because I don't really know, but, you know, you read stories about how it's proven to help with your body and it helps, you know, ease anxiety and pain and this, that, and the other thing. I think the UFC, you know, I guarantee you a lot of these UFC guys smoke or however they decide to take THC. It's a part. I mean, you're putting such a beat down on your body. It's a brutal sport. Yes, it's one of those things that you decide that you want to do. But I think in the long run, UFC and Dana White and these guys are looking like, hey, if these guys are going to stay in the game longer and by smoking a joint or taking, you know, an edible or whatever these guys decide to do, I think they're willing to deal with that.
Yeah, and listen, let me be a little bit clear on what I said. The United States Doping Agency, they're the ones who changed their rules
right. In
order for the, you know, the UFC fighters not to. Now, it's discouraged for them to, you know, burn and smoke marijuana the days of their fights, you know, and they're permitted to use any other performance-enhancing drugs.
I have to interrupt, and I'm sorry. Alert on my phone. The Yankees are finalizing a deal with Corey Kluber as we speak.
Get the
That's excellent. Not out of
here.
It's right. I'm sorry, and we were getting into a good conversation.
What was that on?
Breaking news, ESPN. Corey Kluber and the New York Yankees are finalizing a deal that will bring the two-time AL Cy Young Award winner to the Bronx.
And I just got an alert on mine, too.
So there you go.
I don't have service.
There goes our theory on Corey Kluber going to the Red Sox. The Yankees have made their impact.
They got quite the payroll, don't they? Those little stripers over there.
I would be interested to see though what they're paying. Yeah, I bet you they're not going to be paying Corey Kluber a lot. I don't think it's going to be a lot. I don't.
Yeah, that's not. I almost wonder. See,
they must have heard us talking about it.
I got my alert now.
Yeah, but they were able to make that move. I'm telling you, if LeMahieu wanted 125, I don't know if they could have made that move. Mm. This is why it's so important. That's why I said it was a bargain. That is a huge move by the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Because I hope he fails his physical. I hope he fails his physical.
He's not going to fail his physical. Now, Ray.
How do you know? He's been on a COVID diet like I have for a year. I'm failing a physical.
Do the Red Sox counter? And do they go for Trevor Bauer?
Yeah.
Do they pay Trevor Bauer?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, better.
That's what I would want to know.
I'll take Trevor Bauer over Corey Kluber.
I don't think it's real. I don't think it was ever realistic to see Trevor Bauer go to the Yankees anyway. He's not the Yankee personality
that they like. Fit. He's a Red Sox fit. Though.
He is a Red Sox fit. He's one of the idiots. He's like one of the village idiots, man.
He can do a shot at Jack and win a World Series like we did back in 2000. What year was that?
That was three, I think. 2003, right?
Was it three, yeah.
Or four?
Yeah,
2003. Four. Yeah, 2003. No, I'm sorry. 2000.
I think it was four. Was it four?
Oh, my God. How do I not know? I think it was four, Ray. I'm sorry. Right. It could be three. Either way, folks, I'm sorry. So Corey Kluber is, obviously they're finalizing it. He's going to be a Yankee. Interesting move. I think that raises a lot of questions for Yankee fans as far as what's going to happen with Tanaka. Are they going to spend the money and sign Tanaka for another year? That's a huge thing.
Cowboy up, baby. Cowboy up.
Tell you what, Corey Kluber is a huge move for the Yankees. I'm not sold on it completely. I think he's probably got a lot of work to do still, but nonetheless, great signing. Great signing. If they can get him below that threshold, that's a great signing.
Severino's arm. Yeah. Especially with Severino's arm. This is This is such a huge move. As a fan, I'm almost speechless in a way. I was really, really hoping he would be the guy. So this is a good thing.
Well, like I said, we both read the same.
There you go, Yanks. Nice job. Good job.
Kev, we both read the same article today, man. Corey Kluber, the Yankees loved it. He had a phenomenal workout, but there were other teams that were in the same boat. And Red Sox, I guarantee you, we're probably right behind the Yankees on that one.
No question about it. So I think they'll make a move for Bauer. There's no question in my mind they'll make a move for Bauer. Ray was just talking about let's make some moves. I think this puts the pressure on them to now make a move.
Not for nothing. Everybody thinks that Trevor Bauer is a one-year, two-year type player. If the Red Sox come out and offer Trevor Bauer like a 4 or 5 year deal, he should take it. He should take it because now
I think he would take a 3 year deal from the Red Sox.
I think so.
I really think he fits in well.
I think he fits in well, and I also you're right, Kev. I think a 3 year deal is probably good too because the Red Sox have made some pretty poor deals over the past few years, some pretty bad long term deals, and they haven't really worked out. So, 3 year deal. I mean, who knows? You know, I was reading an article today that the Padres are running out of money and they're pretty much done. They've done what they're going to do. You know, and I also read, we forgot to talk about this. Fernando Tatis Jr. is looking at a $300 million contract now, too. They want to sign him to a long-term $300-plus million contract. That was news the other day.
I'll say, I thought he already had signed it. That was just the offer.
I didn't read that he signed it, but I know that that's what they were offering, so... hot stove is clearly hot in New York, man. The Yankees are on the move. Like we said, the Mets. We'll see what Boston does, man. I'm looking forward to see what Boston does. They decide to pull the trigger on a big name.
Listen, Speaking of a big name, now Justin Thomas just lost the Ralph Lauren, the polo sponsor, because he used an anti. He used a.
Is that breaking news too?
Used an anti-gay slur.
Did you see that? Did you see what
happened? He said like.
He said the F.
He said the F and F, the F and F word.
Yeah. So Justin Thomas. Now we're switching. We're getting a lot of break. This is a great episode because we're getting breaking news.
Except it's going to be tomorrow morning, so it's really not breaking.
It's breaking.
It's Breaking Bad. Great series. Check it out. Yeah. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. So Justin Thomas goes to make a putt and he says the F word, and obviously we're not going to say it on the air, but he says the F word and. I had a feeling that was coming.
You know what? Sometimes people say things, and it's not meant to be in a derogatory, like, it's not specific. Even though it might sound like it's a specific word, I mean... Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I'm not condoning it, but the guy apologized. He's not a shitbag. Justin Thomas isn't a shitbag.
If you listen to him, though, he talks a lot of shit on the course, and he swears a lot. He says a lot of stuff.
Dude, it's sports, man. It's sports. And I'm sorry. If I got to listen in my car to freaking WAP, if I'm playing on a golf course and I say, oh, fucking whatever, you know what? Fucking whatever. I got to listen to wet-ass pussy on a fucking radio station. You want to get me going about all these, like, bullshit things that were kids are doing this on TikTok. They're freaking 10 years old. They're talking about WAP. Do you know what a WAP is? And then you're WAPing with their parents. It ain't cool. You say effing whatever and you're going to lose money. Sports are sports. Shit happens. Things are said. I'm not condoning it. But you know what? You get hot, you get heavy, and sometimes some words slip. It is what it is. He ain't telling the guy, you know, that you're a whatever. Like, that didn't happen. He just said, oh, whatever. Now, once again, I'm not saying it's okay. But we got to kind of grow a little bit of a backbone here and stop being a big, huge society of, like, I don't want to use the word, but it's kind of what it is. It's, I don't know.
I mean, listen.
I'll just shut the hell up before I say something stupid.
No, Kev, what are your thoughts? I mean, I know we follow golf to a T, but I know you kind of know what happened. What do you think? Is it Polo or Ralph Lauren that dropped him?
It's the same thing.
Oh, it is the same. All right. So Polo is, I mean, Justin Thomas, that's all he wears on tour is Polo.
It's Ralph Lauren. Polo is Ralph Lauren. It's all the same shit.
So what do you think? He says this word on tour. Now, mind you, there's no, you know, they have microphones at every little part of the golf course. You can hear everything. He slipped. He made a mistake. What do you think?
I think he made a mistake. I think Ray's right. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, again, I'm not condoning the word, but I mean, shit happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not shocked because it's 2021 and it's the way it is. And everybody analyzes everything. And these athletes have cameras. I mean, they're competing. I mean, go back to high school, Ray. How many times were you called that? Bottom of the pile.
Yeah. Probably more on the basketball court than anything.
Mm. Yeah,
from the fans. They weren't even playing because they weren't good enough to get on the court.
And that's the other thing. You know, the fans can call people whatever they want. The players, out of frustration, say something they don't mean. They're pissed off. I think it's ridiculous, but you know what? It's not shocking. Not at all.
It's not. It's just too bad. I mean, the guy came out. He did. He made a statement.
He apologized before he even got into his post-round interview. Right. He apologized. And you know what? But listen, we were just talking about one of the GOATs.
Heat of the moment,
talking about one of the GOATs, right? Tiger Woods. He had some personal issues. He said he was sorry. He cheated on his wife with several different women. He came out and said he was a sex addict. What happened? Who dropped him? Gatorade.
Everybody.
Nike.
Everybody.
He lost. And that wasn't even for calling somebody or something an anti-gay slur. That was just because he had some personal issues, and he admitted he had a problem. So guess what? No Nike, no Gatorade. If anything, in my opinion, as far as that goes, you got somebody who admits they made a mistake. Justin Thomas didn't wait a couple days to come out with a statement. He didn't tweet it. He didn't do anything. He got right in front of that camera at the end of the round and said, listen, I apologize. It was stupid. I made a mistake. There's nothing I can do about it, and I'm going to have to live with my choices. Okay. You know what? Good on you, Justin Thomas. We know that you didn't call somebody that word.
Yeah.
You said it in a way that frustrates people, and people say it every day. It was caught on camera. Golf is a prestigious sport. They don't want to hear any of that stuff. So now he's going to have to pay the consequences, man. He's going to have to work his way back.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll go win another tournament. It's just like, you know, the bar has been set so high.
Yeah,
like you have to be just perfect in every single thing you do. But it's really a double standard because these athletes are doing other things. I mean, watch the NBA. What was it last week? There was a freaking brawl on the court. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you where are we at here? What are we condoning? Are we condoning bad language and allowing, you know, good sportsmanship, just to like go to shit and let these dudes just bang out?
Yeah.
Like, what was lost there? Was it maybe $10,000 fine, $20,000 fine? Who cares?
Yeah, you look at a lot, and I'm not pointing out basketball.
Same with the NFL. Look at the Titans. The Titans in the Titans and the Ravens game.
Yeah.
They were fighting. What happens with that? What happens? It's crazy. There's so many double standards in sports now. I mean, for Justin Thomas, it was stupid. He shouldn't have done it. It wasn't directed at anybody. He was talking to the damn golf ball.
He was talking to the golf ball. He literally was looking at the golf ball.
He should have called the thing Sally. Like, fucking Sally. You know, whatever. I'm not.
He was literally.
Anything could be offensive at this point.
No, I mean, he was literally looking at the golf ball when he said it.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, now that there's no fans, there's no nothing, there's cameras everywhere.
Yep. You can't hear everything.
You can't be saying that shit, man. You can't. And he knows that, but he's such a hot-headed golfer anyway.
Yeah, well.
I mean, but listen, now you got to hope that Titleist doesn't drop him. And then you got to hope that maybe – he's got to hope that maybe another sponsor will give him a chance. Like, he's not going to get any sponsorships anytime soon.
To lose all of that over a three-letter word. What do you say?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – I'm not saying it's – you know, I'm not condoning it. I'm not.
Right.
You're in the heat of the moment. Everyone's comes in a different upbringing. I mean, you know, you're calling. I don't know. It's like a swear word. It's not really necessarily.
Yeah,
it's like saying fuck or shit or you know what I mean. Like that's how he's saying it.
Yeah, but
he's not saying it as the dude over there is gay or whatever. Like, who cares?
Yeah, but if
you're entitled to like whatever you want. I could care less.
If he had said the F word or he said shit or he said ass, nothing would have happened. But because that word is. It is associated with an anti-gay slur, then that's what he's going to have to pay the consequences for. I mean, it's his fault. He made a mistake. At least he came out and said it. So
that's
what it is.
You know what? I give him props for at least taking accountability and the responsibility of admitting that he was wrong. Mm. I give him props for that, not for saying the word. I mean, it was stupid.
I mean, I don't know Justin Thomas personally, but I know he does a lot for kids and for schools, and he does a lot of charity work and stuff. But he's a competitor, just like – listen, you go to an NFL game,
it's the heat of the moment,
you go to a basketball game, we've all been there, boys. Some of the stuff that comes out of these players' mouths is 10 times worse than what Justin Thomas said. It is. I mean, good Lord. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people say that they don't mean, but I knew it was coming. I knew there was going to be some sponsorship drops there, but, you know, it is what it is.
So hopefully it's not a trickle down.
Recoup, yeah, just like everybody else does. Everybody else recoups. It's a bump in the road, and he learned his mistake.
So this is what Justin Thomas does. The Justin Thomas Foundation, he has a foundation. It positively impacts children in need, junior golf, and military families with the intent of helping all achieve their full potential. The goals of the Justin Thomas Foundation reflect the altruistic operations of the Thomas family. I mean, the guy's dumping some money here and there. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He does stuff for kids, and he shouldn't have said what he said.
It's a tough situation all around.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
All right. Once again with the breaking
news. See you, Ralph Lauren.
We got another update.
You
got
see you, Samantha. Yeah, we got. Nah, this is well. It's you know. No,
well, this is quite the episode, folks. We've had two major news breaks. We are almost an hour into the show already, and we haven't even touched everything yet that we want to talk about. So, real quick, Kev, we were on UFC. I kind of gave my example, and right before you broke. I broke the news to Corey Kluber. You were talking about something involving the marijuana policy in UFC. What was that? Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yeah, they were just talking about how they're going to allow
it. Half of them smoke it anyway.
I mean, Nate Diaz walked right up to a weigh-in smoking a joint on live television.
Nate Diaz loves weed. Like, dude, these guys, I don't care. Like, I don't do it, but I don't care. Like, right. I feel like there's a lot of other things that need to be focused on, and if an NFL player, after getting hit as much as they do throughout the course of the season, is going to go home and smoke a joint, I couldn't care less. Right. I think it's silly. You made the point that it's legalized in certain states. I don't get it. I've always thought it should be treated like alcohol and taxed like cigarettes.
Yeah,
I couldn't care less. I think it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's one of those things. The world is evolving. The world of sports is evolving. Clearly, as we speak, I mean, we've gotten several breaking news stories. This isn't a surprise to me at all. I mean, I think you're going to start to see it all over the place. And it kind of like brings me back. I just recently watched the CC Sabathia documentary on HBO, which was incredible. If you guys haven't seen it, it's called Under the Grapefruit Tree. Really, really great documentary. CC goes into his alcoholism, and people didn't know that he was an alcoholic, and he was a raging alcoholic. He would beat people up. He would get into fights. And he says straight up after every game, he's like, whether I pitch good or bad, I would want a Crown and Sprite. I'd have a Crown and Sprite waiting for me in my locker. He would drink bottles of Hennessy. I'm talking 1 to 2 bottles of Hennessy after a game.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Who? CC?
Yeah. Well, that's another one you got to watch.
Like 270?
Well, that's when he was real big.
I mean, he's a big dude. What is he 6'5"?
He would go into blackout. He's 6'7", I think. He would go into blackout stages. He would fight people. Like, he was bad.
How about Deshaun Watson?
You want to go into Deshaun Watson right now?
Can we go into Deshaun Watson real quick?
Sure.
Ray, do you think he's going to be moved? Honestly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And here's the problem why. Okay. This dude is being influenced by outsiders on why he should leave Houston.
I agree.
So, and I don't know, like, I'm not sure which person said it, but they're saying, like, oh, Eric Bieniemy, by the way, who should be he should be the top prospect to become an NFL football coach, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, he's kind of proved himself in Kansas City the last few years as the offensive coordinator. Right. He didn't even get an interview last year. So far today, the Jets signed a guy. Actually, the Falcons ended up signing a guy as well. What's that leave left? Like, what's left for Eric Bieniemy? So someone said that Eric Bieniemy interview in Houston was just a woe is me, like, you're only getting this interview because of his race. And I'm like, well, Deshaun Watson wanted Eric Bieniemy to be interviewed because he wants Bieniemy as the head coach. But you have other people saying, like, apparently Houston is kind of like the franchise you go to kill your career, like the Detroit Lions. If you want to have a career that's going to die, you play for two franchises. You play for the Detroit Lions or the Houston Texans.
Right.
Christ, you can throw the Jets in there too if you wanted to. They haven't done shit in 50 years.
But you could throw my franchise in too for the way it used to be.
Yeah, but they just made the playoffs and they're making moves and at least they're doing positive things.
No question.
But like Deshaun Watson, he wants to go. You got Andre Johnson's talking shit on the franchise. He was one of the all time greats in Houston. I want to say it was Marcus Spears is like, get the hell out of there. Those are just two people that have come out in public and made statements. So what's your feeling on, you know, on that? I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's top five quarterback. Where's he going to go?
I still don't think he's going to get moved. I really don't. And the reason is this. Number one, they got a new GM. We all know the lineage. We all know he's from New England, a Belichick guy. He's also smart. When you think about the contract and the years still to come on that contract, and you look at the leverage the team has, he might not want to go. I just don't see them making the move. And when you look at, like, he could sit out mini camp and kind of get away with it. But when you start, and this is the collective bargaining agreement, and it's why it's a positive thing. It's why some of the players hate this aspect of it, what I'm about to say, is that they really can't afford, when you look at the fines, to sit out for a long period of time. So I just, like, when you, I heard it on the radio earlier this week about how many millions that start to accrue when you sit out games. And I just can't see that being something that he does. If they choose to move him, that's one thing, but that team has all the leverage in the world. And I heard the rumor that he might be moved to Miami for that top pick and for a couple of players. Again, I don't know how, with the contract, how they're going to do that. I don't know why they would do that. It doesn't matter that he's unhappy. I get it. You know, this isn't the NBA. He doesn't have 1 year left on his contract like Trent Williams had with Washington. He's there for a number of years. And I just, as much as I kind of understand you saying they're going to move him, I just don't think they're going to. I really don't.
It would have made sense. I mean, you know, he's the guy, obviously, you build your franchise around.
So let me ask you this, though, on another note on that. Look what just happened, and I don't want to switch directly over to basketball, but look what happened with James Harden, right? He made his anger and frustration towards the Houston Rockets a very well-known thing. He literally came out and said, there's nothing more I can do. This is a disaster. I don't want to be here anymore. At what point do you say, okay, do you really want a player that doesn't want to be there? I mean, do you really think if Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be there, do you want him as your quarterback, as a leader of your team?
Probably.
Yeah, I do.
You still, even though he doesn't want to be there, is he going to put in 100% effort if he doesn't want
to
be there?
Listen, man, there's incentives. There's incentives on the you have incentives on your contract to make more money.
Right.
At the end of the day, like your legacy is going to be what you do. And if you're going to take days off football, you're going to get hurt in football taking days off. You can't. You have to prepare. You'll get killed. These guys are freaking monsters.
He's going to get killed if he stays with Houston.
Yeah, but he'll prepare. He'll be fine. I mean,
he clearly is unhappy there. He clearly wants to be moved. I mean, it's no surprise. And then he's got all these NFL legends telling him, kid, don't keep your mouth shut. Go do what you got to do. He's going to listen to those guys. You don't want to stay in Houston, so why keep him? Go move him for some draft picks and rebuild your franchise. Yeah. That's just my thought. I don't know.
Listen, he's not.
I'm not saying I disagree. It's not. The NBA is different than pro football in the sense that these teams have control. Like the NBA, they have no control. The players in the NBA ruin franchises. It's different.
How do you feel for John Wall? How do you feel for John Wall in this situation?
I feel bad
because he's a good
Marcus Cousins. You know, these guys come out and they say things like, "Dude, this guy, like, you know, you think that he's been a problem this week? He's been a problem since day one. Mm-hmm. There's 14 other guys on this roster. Stuff like that."
Did you just say DeMarcus Cousins?
DeMarcus Cousins said that exact quote.
Like, we got a video. We got that video that we want to bring up of DeMarcus Cousins. Did you see that DeMarcus Cousins LeBron video?
I did not.
You didn't see it when he fouled LeBron and just like knocked him out? And LeBron flopped on the floor.
It's nothing. But this makes me want to YouTube it, I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah, we're gonna try to bring it up here. And if you're watching, man, it's actually quite hilarious. This is just another instance of the king being a queen.
Yep.
He stinks.
You know, here it is right here. We got DeMarcus Cousins.
Basketball.
And then look at this. Looked like he just got shot.
Right across the forehead.
Oh, knocked out.
LeBron immediately went to the floor.
I mean, that's just a hard foul.
It's not even a hard foul. His freaking forearm hit him in the face. It's not a huge deal. He swiped him.
But if you look at, like, you know, you go back to some old Jordan videos.
He got annihilated.
You know, he got crushed. You know, He got a flagrant foul too for that, and he got ejected from the game because it was on LeBron.
That's ridiculous.
That was not even that hard of a foul.
That flop was horrible.
Dude, LeBron.
Dude, he's such a skirt.
Yeah. And he's the softest 6'8", 270-pound freak athlete ever. Yes. I mean, it's he should have just gone to Duke, because then he would have, you know, because that's what he does. He flops. And I just, Jordan was getting annihilated. There weren't even calls of fouls being made.
Right. Yeah. You know, that there was that one against Detroit when he pretty much got, like, wrapped around the neck and thrown on the floor.
Yeah.
There was no ejections for that.
You're talking about back when MJ played?
I'm talking back when basketball was basketball, and it wasn't like a bunch of, like, you know, prima donnas out there throwing up threes from half court.
They would beat the hell out of each other during games. Beat the hell out of each other.
Ray, you talk about rest management, load management, whatever that stupid term is. Could you imagine LeBron going and playing at New York with Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley?
That
would have been his rest day.
Yeah. Dude, it's like they're taking rules from baseball on a pitch count, and they're bringing it over like Kawhi Leonard out in L.A. Like, come on, bro.
It's horrible.
How are you going to get any respect from your teammates when you're not even going to want to play a full season? You got to take days off because you got to rest your body. Out of here.
Yeah, it's bad.
What do you think of Harden going to the Nets? Being reunited with KD, and then you got this other guy, Kyrie, who he was fined $50,000.
He's like an alien, man.
He just got fined $50,000. I mean,
he's a strange cat.
He's out there. He's got like some CTE going from something, or he hit a bad pop of acid. I'm not sure.
I think he's just a baby. I think he's a baby like all the rest of them. And I keep calling him an alien. He's from another planet, man. He's a strange dude.
He's a strange dude.
He's weird, man.
Kyrie is a he's very intellectually brilliant. Like, he's really smart, but he is just – I'm not going to comment. I've heard people bring up stuff like mental illness. I'm not going there. I don't know, so I'm not going there.
I was just thinking more or less of, you know.
He's a brat, you know?
I mean, you figure – my thought is Kyrie gets teamed up with – Kevin Durant, who arguably is one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, you can put him up there.
His best friend.
Yeah, he's one of his best friends, and now he's not showing up to games. In my opinion, Ray, I think that Harden going to Brooklyn is not going to change a thing. I think it's going to turn into a train wreck.
It does change a thing.
Well, it does.
I think it makes them worse.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's going to change a thing. I think it's going to be just... It's going to be listen, all of them are ball hogs. Harden's one of the worst defenders. He don't like to give the ball to anybody.
You know what? Harden is a hog. I don't think Durant is a hog.
I don't either.
He's not.
Durant's not a hog.
It didn't work the first time.
Durant is special because he doesn't need the ball in his hands.
Right.
And he, you know what I mean? He's that special. Like, if you put Durant with the way the Knicks are constructed this year, if you put Durant on the Knicks, they're a playoff team. I'm not saying they're going to go far, but they're a playoff team. He's a special. You know what's amazing?
Yeah, it's also the East.
Kevin Durant,
and the East is trash.
Became the most unlikable player in basketball. And it's so amazing that now Harden's there with Kyrie. And it's almost like we forget. We're like, oh, Kevin Durant. Wow, we like him again. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't see this working. Kyrie needs the ball in his hands. Harden needs the ball in his hands. Neither one of them play defense. Kevin Durant's over there. They traded guys that were important to their team. LeVert was a terrific player. Allen is a terrific rim protector with a ton of potential. They traded seven first-round picks after trading all those picks for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. I get that they're trying to win it, and if this works, if they ever played together, if they ever play, you know.
That's what I'm saying. They all gotta show up at some point. You know what I mean?
I agree with Ray. I think this is a disaster.
Yeah, I don't like it. I actually had the Nets. I figured the Nets were going to be the team in the East to, you know, give a run to the Lakers, because I think it's going to be LA again.
I do feel bad.
I hope not, but
I feel bad for the guys in Houston, man. I really do.
I feel bad for John Wall. The guy's been a little bit, you know, he's been injury plagued over his career.
Yeah, but I mean, he finally gets player. He gets a chance to possibly win and go somewhere.
Yeah,
and then Harden's just like, see you later.
Yeah, they weren't going to win anything.
No. Well,
nah.
I mean, listen, it's a move that all these NBA players, not all, I shouldn't say all, but a lot of these NBA players are making. Let's form a super team. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's the way of the world. I hate it, too. I hate it, too, because these guys are getting everything they want. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't follow basketball to a T. I didn't expect Harden to go to the Nets. I really didn't. But I know, did. I didn't
That's
see it.
That's where he wanted to go.
Yeah,
that was like, I didn't.
That was preseason.
Yeah, see, I missed that. So that was I didn't see it. So when I saw it, I'm like, oh, here we go. It's going to be another, you know, super team. But I guess that's where he wanted to go anyway. So it is what it is.
Crazy, man.
All right. Well, listen, we're about 8 o'clock again, guys. We're down here at Pie Hops. It is 80 Broadway, Norwich, Connecticut, 06360. We have Kev Mike with us tonight. Brian could not make it tonight. He had a family obligation. So we're going to bust his chops about that next week. And, guys, we have some serious football coming up tomorrow and Sunday.
Yes.
Huge games tomorrow. We have Green Bay at the Rams. Interesting matchup. And then we have Cleveland and the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
A lot of people are big on the Browns. A lot of people like the Browns winning tomorrow. What do we think? Let's start with Green Bay and the Rams. Ray, give us a spread. What do you got for a spread for us? Is it still 7.5? Or 7?
The spread's 7.
7. So, Kev, what do you think? Rams have a great defense. Obviously, Green Bay's got some serious weapons. They have one of the greatest to ever do it, Aaron Rodgers. What do you think, man? Rams, Green Bay, give us your thoughts. Give us your winner. Are they covering the spread? What do you think?
God, you're asking me if somebody's covering the spread? Go to
Rams. don't do that. Just tell us who you like.
Don't do that to me.
I don't know what he's...
Listen, I won this year. I wanted to know what people thought.
Ask the guy who had the least amount of wins.
Well, no. He's, you know what you guys are going to do? You're going to ask me, and then you guys are going to pick the other team.
But, well, that's kind of what I was going for. I mean, you figured
it's
out
fair.
My plan.
It's fair. It's fair. I'm telling you, next year I'm going to get you guys. But listen, I like Green Bay. I really do. So obviously that means the Rams will win the game or cover the spread, but I think Aaron Rodgers is great. I think that he's on a mission. I don't know how far he's going to go. I think they'll win this game, though.
All right, Ray, I know you have a different thought on this. What do you think? You got the Rams going to the Super Bowl. You said that probably like 2 months ago.
I did. I had them going to the Super Bowl. I did. I had them going to the Super Bowl. I also, in the beginning of the year, said that the Bucs were going to win the Super Bowl. So,
well, you got two
there's like, there's, I, it's an, I believe it's an NFC year this year. Mm. Regardless, I'm not taking the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs might get there. I can't wait to see it. I hope Buffalo beats Baltimore. Anyway, back to the Rams, Green Bay. It opened at 6.5. It's at 7 now, depending on, you know, which casino you're going through. And then it's back down to 6.5, depending on which casino you're going through. So, you know, if I can get a 7-point spread on the game, I'm probably going to lean and take the Rams only because I think it's going to be a close game.
Okay.
You have the number one defense in the LA Rams against the number one offense in the Green Bay Packers. So I think that, you know, if Aaron Donald's healthy, he got a little banged up. I think he had maybe a thigh or a rib. I'm not sure which one it was.
Yeah, He
got a little banged up.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald.
Yep.
I mean, that guy's just amazing, but Floyd off the edge. I mean, this dude gets past. He gets in the backfield, too. The Rams' defense is really, really good. They're going to challenge. They're going to challenge the Green Bay wide receivers. They're going to challenge Aaron Jones, you know, Jamal Williams, you know, A.J. Dillon if he gets a chance,
he might get a few runs in.
And I hope he does. You know, you pound, you bring the big body in and you pound that defensive line, try to wear him out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that'll open up, Marquez Valdez Scanlon down the, you know, down the seam. Hopefully he doesn't drop it. He had a big drop last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. I think it's going to be a tight game. Maybe the Packers by a field goal because it's at Lambeau.
Yeah.
Packers by a field goal.
I agree. I think it's going to be close, Ray. I agree with everything you said. The Rams defense is just so good. They're unbelievable. I think the issue is going to be Goff on how he feels. I mean, when he played, obviously, last week, he looked pretty good, even though he basically didn't have a thumb. I think it's all going to depend on how he plays.
He played good. Played good last week.
He did play good. He's one of the most inconsistent quarterbacks I've ever seen, though. He's just, you never know what he's going to bring to the table. Well, so
let's see if that Green Bay defense has anything.
Yeah, all right.
That's what it's come down to.
All right, so we got the night game, I believe. So we got Cleveland.
Yeah, Baltimore-Buffalo.
Oh, Baltimore-Buffalo.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's Baltimore-Buffalo.
Cleveland is on Sunday. That's my
point. Listen, this is a big jump in the points on this one. Big jump in the points. Opened up the Bills were -6.5. It fell all the way down to -2.5. 4 points, a 4-point swing.
Wow.
4-point swing. Everybody's on the Ravens. Everybody's on the Ravens. So if you're a Baltimore guy and you got that spread at getting plus 6.5, if I were to bet it right now and I might have threw it a little parlay in, I'm taking the Bills at minus 2.5 all day. All day. I don't think, congratulations, Lamar Jackson, on your first win last week.
I think Josh Allen's too good. I think the Bills are too good right now.
Josh Allen's playing at an MVP level this year.
Yeah. Kev, what do you think?
I love the Bills in this game. At home, too? Yeah. Bills Mafia?
Yeah, I love the Bills, too. I think that they're also the perfect team for a young quarterback to succeed around. We talk about all these quarterbacks like Darnold that are struggling and all this other stuff. Like, not this kid's got, this kid's gotten better year by year. And yeah, he's definitely playing MVP caliber football. But he also has a hell of a defense. They run the ball. They have a big offensive line. They went and got Diggs. They got Cole Beasley. They have weapons. I love Lamar Jackson, but I don't think they're going to have enough. And like you said, the spread, I'll take Buffalo. So naturally, you're going to go change your picks.
I'm not changing a damn thing. I picked it first.
I think all of us are on the Bills. I've been big on the Bills all year. I said that they were going to be a Super Bowl contender. Right. I love Josh Allen, man. And like Ray said, he's playing at an unbelievable level. This kid is just, like you said, every year, Kev, he gets better and better. Like, it's just, I can't wait to see what he does. It's going to be a great game to watch.
I agree.
Listen, Buffalo's going to give Kansas City a run if Kansas City gets past Cleveland. OBJ is an idiot. Who gave the Kansas City Chiefs some bulletin board material. Probably not the smartest thing to do. Juju on that beat did that, and it totally blew up in Pittsburgh's face. Now it's time for Kansas City to flip it around and take Cleveland Browns and, you know, use that bulletin board material. By the way, from a player who hasn't played a game in, 10 weeks?
He's not even playing.
So Odell Beckham, great job getting the best quarterback in the AFC all fired up. And the rest of the players, because you're running your mouth on sideline, you freaking dope.
You don't really need to fire anybody up on the Chiefs, by the way. They don't need to hear OBJ say anything because they're a great team. And if you think Mahomes, that's going to bother him, he's going to be like, yeah, whatever, OBJ.
No, he's not going to be like, whatever. He's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to prove to you.
He don't need to prove anything. Patrick Mahomes is a stud.
He only won one Super Bowl. He has a whole career to prove. Just because he got half a billion dollars don't mean that he's worth $500 million on the field.
I think he's worth $500 million.
Nobody's worth $500 million. No athlete is worth $500 million. So let's just say Cleveland is getting 4.5. Obviously, it's at Arrowhead. They were getting 4.5. Now they're getting 10.5 points. 6-point swing in this game. How does it go from Cleveland plus 4.5 to Cleveland plus 10.5? I'm taking the points. I'm taking Cleveland. I'm sorry. Cleveland's got a good defense. Kansas City's offense, honestly, hasn't been like the most remarkable thing all year. They kind of sputter. And then when it gets close, they kind of fire up. You know, then they start to fire on all their cylinders. But I'm not sold on a blowout, believe it or not.
No.
I think Kansas City's defense is mediocre. Baker Mayfield's kind of been slinging the rock around. And I love the fact that they have the two best running backs in the NFL. Yes, the two best running backs in the NFL. They're going to control the clock as much as possible. If they got to throw the ball, I mean, they have guys they can throw the ball to, you know? I don't know. What's your take on that, Kev?
I've been going back and forth with this one. I all the things you said are right. Like, when you look at a point spread like this and you look at Kansas City's defense, it worries me a little bit. And I really don't think Patrick Mahomes cares two shits about what Odell Beckham says. I don't think he cares at all. This is a tough one because Cleveland does have a defense that can put pressure on the quarterback. When you talk about facing these crazy good quarterbacks, Brady, Mahomes, all these guys, what do we always talk about? Putting pressure on the quarterback. They have the ability to do that. I think Kansas City's going to win the game. I'm going to take the points with Cleveland, but I still think Kansas City's going to win the game. I can see him winning by 9. I can see them being up 2 scores, and then Baker scores with about 30 seconds to go. and they cover the spread. I would be really, really not shocked but surprised if Cleveland wins this game. It is a tough team to get behind. They got a lot of mouths. If you're an old school football fan, you can't stand the Cleveland Browns. I think Kansas City's terrific, but you know, like you always talk about, you know, you take the points sometimes in these games, especially when you look at the matchups. And the other thing is as much as everybody thinks Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl, it's really hard to get back there. I'm not saying it's going to they're going to lose the game, but I'll take the points.
Yeah, Kev, I agree with pretty much everything you said, man. A lot of people are on the Browns to win this game. A lot of people are picking the Browns. They think it's going to be a major upset. I'm not necessarily disagreing with them, man. I think they have a huge battle ahead of them.
I don't think everyone's picking the Browns because the spread went up 6 points.
Well, a lot of people. I'm not even talking about the spread.
I'm talking about Vegas. Everyone's on the Chiefs.
I'm just saying in general. You're watching what people are writing and what people are saying. People like the Browns winning this football game, and I think they have a lot of momentum. That's something that always carries over into games. Baker Mayfield has been playing great. Their defense is good. Baker, I think, is out to he's out for blood, and he's out to prove to everybody that he can play in this league, and he's out to show people that he can lead a football team. So if they don't win, it's going to be close. I agree with what Ray said. I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, I've been on the Browns too this year. I picked some weird teams. But you know, they're all there still. So I guess we'll see what happens. I'm excited to watch that game. I really am. So
yeah.
All right, the game of the century. Two dinosaurs leading each team at quarterback.
That's it.
Tampa's nothing really moved on this game. Maybe half a point down. Tampa went from getting 3.5 at New Orleans to only getting 3. So a little bit of money swung on towards the Saints. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. What's your take on this? You got the GOAT versus Breeze.
Nodder.
I'm going Brady. I'm going Brady in the Bucs. I like him. I think Brady is he's playoff Brady, man. I'm telling you, he's been playing really well. He's got his weapons working for him. I like the Saints too. I actually picked it when we first started talking about this. I picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody's stopping him at this point. I just think Brady's Brady. He's here. He's here to win it, and I think he's not going to lose to Breeze again because he's already lost to him twice. He's not losing again.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. That's my thought.
You want me to go? I'll take it.
Yeah, go out and run it.
You know, I've been a Brady fan from the beginning. I thought they were going to win the division. I didn't realize that, you know, with all the stuff with COVID and everything, I really think that the first month, 5 weeks of the season, there was a big adjustment for Brady and for the entire team on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's very difficult to imagine that the Saints are going to beat Tom Brady 3 times in a season. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before with the NFL this year. Well documented. But at the same time, I know the game with Washington was a lot closer than people anticipated, but I was impressed with the way their offensive line handled Washington's defensive line. They basically, Tristan Wirfs basically shut down Chase Young. I really think that that's going to be a key. I think Evans will play better this week. I think Antonio Brown will make himself known. I think it'll be a really close game, but I think Tampa Bay is going to win the game. I know the spread is close. I'm going to take Tampa back.
Speaking of which, that's a guy I've been taking in DraftKings over the past couple of weeks, Antonio Brown. He's had a couple of – I think he's scored in at least his past three
– Well, no, they're games. They're reunited. They're connecting. Yeah, Brady's had a hard-on for Antonio Brown.
People forget about him. People forget that he's even on the box. You can't forget about him. He's too
dangerous. Antonio Brown's was the best receiver for many, many years.
So good.
I think that
I'm interested to see what you have to say.
I think the New Orleans defense, to be honest with you, is a better defense than that Washington defense. I think that front New Orleans has is going to be a problem for the Bucs. To beat a team 3 times in a row in a season is very hard to do, like you said, Kev.
Very hard.
I picked the Bucs to win the Super Bowl preseason. People thought I was crazy.
I thought you were crazy.
I don't think I'm gonna. I'm not gonna go away from what I thought in the beginning of the year. I mean,
now you got to pick though, because you also picked the Rams to win. So
listen, I did. I halfway, not even halfway, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we picked, you know, some teams that we thought were the best teams in the NFL, and I did. I put the Rams at one. Beginning of the year, I picked the Bucs. I think it's gonna be Green Bay and Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship. I have Tampa Bay. I can't. I'm not going to go away from them. Breeze looks really old.
He does, though.
Breeze
he
looks
does.
Really, really. He's aged. He looks really, I
mean,
really
not,
old.
Not to mention, he broke like 11 ribs a few weeks ago. So I mean,
Breeze looks old. Hurting, man. Breeze looks old. If I had to pick, you know,
Tom Brady doesn't look old to me. He does not look like he's even skipped a beat. To be honest with you,
Tom Brady looks amazing. He's throwing the ball down the field. He's connecting with everybody. Yeah. He's slick. I mean, how many receivers catch the ball? He's sharing the wealth.
Yes.
He's not 40 targeting. 40
touchdown passes, Ray. 40.
40.
40 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and 4,500 yards.
Unbelievable.
And he's 42, 43. What is he? 42 40, or 43?
He's 43 years
he's
old.
He's 100 years 43 old.
43 years old.
Yeah, this guy's outplaying the youngsters out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You can't go against Tom Brady in the playoffs ever, even though he's lost, you know, a few Super Bowls. I'm taking them, man. I'm taking the Bucs. I'm honestly, I'm taking the Bucs to run the table.
There you go. Hey, that's. I mean, listen, we got a huge, huge weekend ahead of us. Tomorrow is a big day. Sunday's a big day, and then, you know, obviously, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you could see some serious upsets. You could see some really close games. I think every game this weekend is going to be a nail biter.
Right.
You know, yeah. But we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. Kev, do you have anything else, Ray, before we kind of start to wrap it up? I think we pretty much touched on everything.
Yeah, no, real quick, what do you think of the James Bouknight injury? And how do you think that's going to affect UConn? I mean, I know they're playing, I think they're playing Marquette tonight. That's going to be, or they're playing Marquette. I know it's Saturday morning, but it's really not. So
I love UConn. I really do. I think I think that injury is crippling, though. He's the heart and soul, in my opinion, of that team. And,
actually, I'm sorry. They were playing Villanova tonight. Villanova's number 3 in the country. My mistake. Yep. I don't know why I was thinking Marquette. They already played them. But
Ray, do you know who the second team in the country is?
The second team in the country. I know
without googling it.
I know that. Is it Baylor? I know the Zags
it's
were one.
Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor.
It's Baylor. Yeah. That's crazy. In a year, Ray and Nodder, that potentially Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky might not make the tournament.
Yeah.
It's been a weird, weird year. Very weird.
Listen, UConn's in the top 25, finally. Finally. What's it been? It's probably been six years.
They should make the tournament. They got the right coach there.
Listen, we need a big win. So the game was canceled. It was postponed. So I guess that's a good sign, or it's a good thing, considering – you need your best player on the court. But I do love some of these kids that UConn has, and I love the Whaley kid, man. He brings so much fire and energy to that court. I'm like, man, he's that annoying defender, that annoying like guy that's going to grab rebounds, and he's just not going to stop. His motor's at like 120 miles an hour all the time. He's a hustler.
They're an NCAA team. Yeah. I just hope this injury isn't crippling. I hope he's not out a long period of time.
Hurley
and
says
I love that they're
not.
Back in the Big East. I love that they're back in the Big East. I think it's going to be able to help them recruit. They already have a terrific class coming in next year.
Yep.
But if he's hurt for weeks, they're in trouble. He's their heart and soul.
Yeah, no, they said that he's going to be out for a little while. Hurley doesn't expect him to be out for too long, though. So how long is too long? I don't know. You know?
Yeah, we'll see.
So, but it's great. It's great to see the UConn Huskies back on the map because it was hard. I didn't even want to watch. I mean, I kind of fell off watching them because who wants to watch them play South? What did they play? South Florida.
SMU.
Yeah, that was the team I was thinking of. The Mustangs.
It's been brutal. It's been brutal for UConn.
DePaul.
It really has.
Ugh. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
There's no tradition.
Actually, they just played the
UConn. UConn belongs in the Big East. And they belong playing Syracuse and Georgetown. I hate this whole conference realignment stuff. I love that the Big East has at least got some respect when you have Villanova and you have some of those teams in there. I think UConn should play Syracuse every year, just like Georgetown should play Syracuse every year. But that's me because, you know what? We grew up watching the Big East and how tough and great it was.
Oh, St. John's, Seton Hall. I mean, you know, oh my God. It was.
I love the UConn-Syracuse triple overtime games. You know, we're double, George triple overtime game. All the time. Oh,
even like
God.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah, those were the days.
I mean, there's some funky,
those were the
days. You added like the Creightons and the Xaviers to the Big East. You know, I mean, my first game I ever went to, it was Providence. I went to a Providence Friars game, and the point guard was what the heck was his name? Man, Eric Murdoch.
Yep.
Eric Murdoch. How long ago was that? I mean, that was in like probably the late '80s, maybe early '90s.
He was a great college player, though.
Yeah, he was. He was a great college player. Yeah, first really game I ever went to, it was Providence and Villanova.
God, remember Iverson? Oh, remember those UConn-Georgetown games?
Yeah, Ray Allen hit
remember,
that.
Remember
hit
Mike
that little...
Jarvis at St. John's with Eric Barkley and Artest? What battles
Ron Artest.
Those are some names right there.
Malik Sealy. Yeah,
we're gonna talk. We gotta actually get on the college basketball train here real soon. March is gonna be here before you know it.
We're already on it. We're on it now.
I mean, we're on it now. We're gonna talk about it a lot more. It's gonna be a point in each one of the following shows. So we know you're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the college basketball scene. So we're excited about that. But yeah, Kev, we're gonna let you go, man. We're gonna wrap things up here. It's a little after 8:20, so we've been on for almost an hour and a half. Kev, as always, brother, thank you. We appreciate you, and you know, we'll be talking to you soon, man.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. You guys are the best. Appreciate you guys.
All right, man, we'll talk to you.
All right, guys.
Later, bro.
All right, guys. Well, that was our other partner in crime, Kev Mike. He joined us tonight. He's going to be with us on Fridays. Again, Brian couldn't make it tonight. But, Ray, it was a good show. We had some good conversation. A lot of stuff going on tonight. A lot of breaking news. This was a breaking news show for us.
Breaking Bad.
Wow. Unbelievable. Breaking Bad. So, Ray, you have anything else before we close things down here?
No, man. Enjoy your Saturday afternoon. Make sure you tune in some NFL football. Mm-hmm. If you guys get a chance, go back, watch that Tiger Part 1 documentary, HBO. Yes. Yes. Max, I'm telling you right now, it'll be worth it. I might have shed a couple tears. I got a little wet in the eyes. A
couple tears.
Wasn't expecting it. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
You know, but that's my emotional side. Phil Orby, thank you for pointing that out months ago.
Yeah, right.
So you guys have a wonderful Saturday afternoon. Enjoy the NFL. And
speaking of NFL, real quick, too. DraftKings is up and running, folks. I got a one-person contest. I'm sorry, one person. One contest in this week. $20, upped it to $20. Top three people win. We got plenty of slots open. Jump on DraftKings if you're a part of it. If you want to play with us, notify us and let us know.
All right, guys.
That's it.
Enjoy your Saturday.
See you guys.
Peace out.
Later.